Hello and welcome to the 15th episode of the Pop Papa Napcast. My name is TJ Deitch. I'm your host and I run poppapa.com, the site that hosts this podcast. As you may or may not know, this show collects my thoughts about being a dad, being a work-from-home dad, and all the trials, tribulations, and fun stuff that comes along with that. We had a really busy week this past week and a lot of things to talk about. All right, sorry about that brief interruption. As I was saying, it was a very busy week, and so I'm recording kind of last minute again. So Lucy is awake, and I'm trying to do my best to keep her occupied with my iPhone as she flips through pictures of herself and watches a Disney Princesses sing-along DVD that she quite enjoys. So you'll probably hear her throughout this episode. Anyway, part of the busy week last week involved a Wednesday trip down to New York City. Now, I don't know if I've talked about this on the show or not, but my wife had some medical problems in the fall of last year that involved a few days in a hospital and some surgery and all that kind of stuff. And even though when we left the hospital and she had her first follow-up appointment, they said they were pretty sure that it was a one-time problem and kind of a fluke thing, they still needed to do a follow-up CT scan, which happened to be on Wednesday. And the doctor, who's one of the best in his field, is in the city, so we went down there. And that's also where she was in the hospital. I think I talked about that, driving back and forth with my dad and her mom and stuff. So we had to do this follow-up, so we went down. All three of us went. When we did the previous follow-up, just my wife and I went down, and my mother-in-law came in and watched Lucy, because we just weren't sure how she would be in the city. And, you know, we had an appointment, and we got lunch with a friend, so it wasn't necessarily the most kid-friendly thing. But we decided to take her down, and since it was pretty early in the morning, or we had to leave early in the morning, because it takes a while to get down to the city for us, especially by car, which is how we went this time. I took care of my work the night before. I was kind of nervous. And then, for some reason, Lucy decided to get up at about 1 o'clock that morning. And she stayed up until about 4:20. Now, my wife and I both got up with her. I brought her into bed, and usually she calms down and goes to sleep. But something was bothering her kind of in her diaper area. I think she might have scratched herself somewhere that we couldn't see. And she was just real out of sorts. So we came out into the living room. My wife was out here for a little bit, and I was like, why don't you just go to bed? And so I stayed up with her for a few hours, and we watched The Amazing Spider-Man from the 60s again, and she was really into that. It was like she just woke up and she was ready to go for the whole day. And then my wife came out at about 4 and was like, why don't you go get a little bit of sleep? And at that point, I had already kind of decided, well, like, I'm going to stay home with her because we're both going to be a wreck and you can go in your thing. I didn't say any of this. But when it's 3 or 4 in the morning and you're watching that Spider-Man cartoon, which is super weird, all kinds of weird stuff is going on, and you're tired, and you'd only been asleep for maybe 45 minutes before she woke up, you start thinking out the rest of the day and the rest of your life and making all these plans. So that's kind of what I figured. But then I got a couple hours of sleep, my wife woke me up, and we decided both to go, and we did the whole thing. The drive down was fine, it was a little long. Lucy didn't sleep because she had, of course, just slept, but she seemed fine in the morning, like not too tired or anything. There was some traffic getting across the GW, and she was getting a little antsy, but not a big deal. We parked. Eventually, we found a parking garage that had some space. And then, you know, we had the appointment and had the very good news that my wife is all clear. He said to, you know, go on as if it never happened. It's not in the medical history. It's not something that popped up because of all these other things going on. One-time thing. Don't worry about it. Live your life. So we were obviously very relieved. I mean, we kind of had that in mind, but it was nice to have it, you know, proven and said officially by the doctor and the tests and all that stuff. It was actually a very short visit all around. I entertained Lucy in the waiting room while she got the actual scan, and then all three of us were in the doctor's office. And Lucy, it was kind of funny. She was getting nervous for her mom because she just had a doctor's appointment a couple weeks ago and hated every second of it. So even when they put, like, the blood pressure cuff and the finger pulse monitor thing on her, Lucy was like, no. And we were like, no, it's fine. It doesn't hurt. It's just going on. It's not pricking or anything like that. So that was a little cute. I mean, it shows that she's learning, even though it's not necessarily a great thing that she's learning to be so afraid of the doctor's office. But I mean, what else do you expect from a place where they prick you and poke you and give you shots and all that kind of stuff? So since we had gotten good news and we were already down in the city, my wife had a few ideas of places that we could go and spend the day with Lucy and just kind of see some sights, not touristy stuff, but do a few things. There was a children's museum we thought about going to, and then instead we decided to go to the Central Park Zoo because we're kind of right down the street. Well, right down the street in New York City is a lot different than right down the street anywhere else, I guess. And it took almost an hour to go like 20 blocks, which wound up being good because Lucy slept that entire time, so she got a nice nap. We had a lot of trouble getting parking. We thought there was parking at the zoo itself, but there isn't, so we had to go around and find some things, and it's all like one-way streets and twisting and turning, and finally we got a play. We just said, forget it, we're going to go here. It wasn't too bad of a walk, but it was a bit of a walk, and Lucy was in her stroller. We strapped her in, which she doesn't really like very much, but the last thing we really wanted or needed was her to slide out the bottom, which she's known to do. We call it her escape hatch, and go running around New York City on the streets. But we got to the zoo. It's a pretty tiny zoo. Like I've said before, I'm used to zoos and not a huge fan of them, to be completely honest. Not because of the caged animal thing, but just because I feel like I've seen a lot of it. But the neat thing about this zoo, tiny as it was, is that it had a few things that I haven't seen before. Like right in the center is a sea lion thing. You can walk around the whole thing and check out the sea lions, and they're jumping around. I mean, it's not a huge habitat, but they seemed to enjoy it and have fun, and all the kids were kind of around watching that, so that was cool. And then they had a really neat penguin habitat that had all kinds of penguins, and for me personally, I like this because, well, for one thing, penguins are just cool, but for another, one of my all-time favorite movies from when I was a kid, and still now I love it, is Batman Returns. This is the second Tim Burton Batman movie. I really don't like the first Batman, it's just called Batman. Not a big fan of that one, but for whatever reason, Batman Returns hit me at just the right time, and I still enjoy watching it now. And in that movie, the penguin, his master plan was to arm a bunch of emperor penguins with rockets and send them out into the city and, I guess, blow it up or something. I can't remember the exact details, but this zoo had emperor penguins, and I can't remember if I've ever seen them before, but, you know, seeing them in person is pretty cool. Aside from two awful little boys who just kept shouting and banging on the glass while their moms just stood there and talked and didn't reprimand them whatsoever, it was a really neat experience. Had they not been there, or had their moms actually done their jobs and, you know, corrected their children, this would have been awesome because the penguins are swimming around. There's all different sizes. It wasn't just emperors. But the big ones kept kind of swimming over and looking like down at Lucy and the other kids and just kind of like scoping them out. So there's a little bit more interaction than you typically see. They also had a polar bear, but I guess he was sleeping, and they had a pretty neat tropical bird area. Like, you walk in and it's really warm. The only problem with that was that, for one thing, Lucy did not care whatsoever about actually looking at the birds. She just wanted to climb up all the stairs and down all the stairs and move around and all that stuff. We could have been at a department store for all she cared, which was too bad because I saw a peacock up in a tree like 15 feet in the air. I didn't even know they could get up there, so that was cool. There were also flamingos and tropical birds. You could go in these different rooms and check out different things. The other problem was that it was really, really hot in there, and I decided to wear jeans because I feel like I look silly when I wear shorts and my regular shoes. I have these like weak arches or whatever, and so I need inserts that are molded to my feet. And they go in my shoes, but I look silly wearing those shoes with socks and shorts. So I went with jeans because I didn't want to wear sandals or anything else because I can't really get the inserts in there. And when I walk around a lot, if I don't have them, my back and my legs hurt. But it was just way too hot. I was, you know, in there running around. Also, I'm not going to get into too many details, but I was having a weird thing going on with work with someone. And none of my bosses or anything, but it was just one of those things where it would have been stressful if I was at home in front of my computer, but instead I was dealing with things on the phone, trying to type out emails with my thumbs and failing miserably. And luckily, you know, my bosses were cool about it, you know, took care of it, but just one of those things that wound up adding like an extra hour or two of stress to a day that should have just been awesome. I mean, I was tired from the night before, but we, you know, the main important reason we went down there was the good news, and that was awesome. But all the other stuff seemed like designed to kind of kick me in the butt. The zoo, the hot, the parking, Lucy running around like a mad woman. I mean, she was all over the place and running too, which made us nervous because it's all like kind of asphalt paths or whatever, kind of, you know, rocky. And she didn't fall over, thankfully. And so, unfortunately, by the end, you know, we ended up in a petting zoo area with goats and cows and an alpaca and a pig. And since she had such a good time at the petting zoo in Disney World, we figured that this would be great. There's a little bit of a playground, all this stuff. But by the end, she was kind of melting down and just, like, running all over the place. And, I mean, that's just how she gets when she's tired. Plus, there was all these additional distractions to kind of keep her going. So she wasn't going to sleep anytime soon unless we got in the car, which was a bummer because we had made tentative plans to get dinner with our friends, and it was still like 2 hours away before they would have been able to meet up with us, or 3 hours, I think, at that point. So we're like, look, we can't do it. I'm sorry. We drove back. As soon as we basically got in the car, she was out. And then it took us, you know, an hour and a half or 2 hours or whatever to get home, and she slept that whole way. And then we had our evening here, and she was fine after that. But, I mean, that dinner could have been a pretty big disaster. And I get really nervous anyway when she's kind of acting all crazy out in public, especially in restaurants. It's something I don't know how to temper, to be completely honest. It's just I get really hot and nervous, and I don't like interrupting other people's meals and stuff. But it is something I'm trying to work on because she's a kid and that happens. So that was our Wednesday. And then Thursday was normal for us, I guess. Her sleep was still a little bit wonky. And then on Friday, my parents came in the evening because my friend and roommate and fraternity brother from college got married on Saturday. And his wife is from Long Island. He's from a little town in Ohio, south of me and south of college, I think. It's been a while. The actual wedding was in Long Island, which is a place I've never been and my wife has never been. So when we got the invitation, we're like, oh, this is great. We thought about going down Saturday, but the wedding started at 11:30. And we weren't sure about traffic, going down to Long Island, all that stuff. So my parents came in on Friday and we had dinner and kind of ran down a few things. And then just Em and I left and Lucy stayed with my parents. Now, this was the first time I'd ever spent a few nights away from Lucy. My wife had done it before in the aforementioned hospital visit, which was, I think, 3 or 4 days. So this was Friday night and Saturday night. And it was actually nice. It was nice to get away. Of course, it's hard to leave, but it's been so long since my wife and I had any time to ourselves. Like I said, I mean, definitely not overnight. We had a date in Disney World, and sometimes when we're with either set of parents, you know, we'll go out and have a date. But this was the first, like, extended trip. And it was actually nice. And, you know, my mom said that she did really well. She stayed up pretty late because usually there's, like, a whole routine with my wife where she puts Lucy down. But instead, they just kind of stayed up and watched movies. And so she stayed up kind of late, but pretty late, actually. But, I mean, she slept. She got all of her rest in. It looked like she was about to fall asleep on Sunday when we got home, but seeing us, like, she was like, oh, mommy, daddy, literally running from one to the other, going back and forth. And so it took a much longer time for her to finally fall asleep Sunday. But it was, you know, it was neat to see her so excited to see us. The wedding itself was interesting because, like I said, it's a friend from college. He and I were randomly assigned to be roommates freshman year in a quad. But he and I got pretty close. And he joined the fraternity that I joined, like, I think a semester after I did. I was really, like, pushing to get him and the other guys up. I don't know if I've referred to the fraternity before. It's Alpha Sigma Phi at Ohio Wesleyan. It sucks that I have to describe it this way, but it's not a weird fraternity. We didn't have to do any hazing or anything like that. I wouldn't have even bothered with something like that. As soon as any of that would have popped up, I'd be like, no thanks. I'm not going to put myself in a place where I'm going to get hurt or embarrassed. I don't need friends that badly. But a friend of mine who I knew from high school was in the fraternity. He went to this college, and that's what kind of opened my eyes up to the place, and it had a really good writing program, so that's why I wanted to go there. And he was also in this fraternity, which really, you know, I hadn't even thought about Greek life until he mentioned it to me. And he was away for a semester when I was there. You can only start pledging or rushing or whatever you want to call it, the second semester of your freshman year. So I started going up and I was really, you know, nervous because meeting new people scares me, and it did then. I don't know if it's worse now or then, but it's always made me nervous. But I went up and I met the guys, and these all seemed really cool. And the more I met them, the more I realized they were part of a lot of different groups on campuses, and I recognized them from different classes and that kind of thing. So it wound up being a really good group of guys. They wound up being a really important part of my college experience, because there's no way I would have made that many friends. I mean, the joke about fraternities and sororities is that you're buying your friends, and that's, you know, not completely true. We had a lot of guys and women that were friends with people in the house, and, you know, obviously you couldn't live in the house, but would be up and back and all that kind of stuff. So it's not really an issue. As far as I'm concerned, it was a really good investment, because it's hard for me to meet people, and this was like a very big way for me to do so. Anyway, I got my roommate up. He wound up joining. And then our senior year, we were roommates, which was a lot of fun. I've had a lot of memories kind of bubbling up ever since we were at the wedding. A lot from freshman year when we lived together, and a lot from senior year when we lived together. And one of the things that was so cool that we did was there was a PlayStation 2 video game called Batman: The Rise of Sun Tzu. It was a neat game because you could choose from one of four characters. You could be Batman, Robin, Batgirl, or Nightwing. And I think I was Batgirl and he was Batman. And we played this two-player game throughout almost the entire year, or at least the second semester. And we literally finished that game the day of graduation. I want to say either graduation or move out. Actually, it was the same day. So it was the day of graduation. We're literally sitting on like two overturned milk crates because we'd already moved our stuff out for the most part. And whatever was still in the room was going to stay. We'd been playing this game all year. We'd gotten stuck at a part, and like maybe a few weeks or whatever before, I was like, or he maybe said it to me, we were like, look, we got to finish this game. This is a big part of this year. We just got to finish it. And so we sat down and we literally beat the bad guy on the very last day of senior year of college. So that's just a cool memory. I mean, it's kind of a goofy thing, but it's fun to have those kinds of things with your friends. And we also did an entire Star Wars original trilogy marathon one day, where on a Saturday or Sunday, we just decided to watch the whole thing. A nice thing about living in the fraternity house that we did was, because we were, you know, not a bunch of animals, our kitchen was open to us. A lot of the other ones, they would actually get locked down. Everybody had a cook that would come in and make meals, or they would have a budget to just buy food. But we had a great cook, and we also had a very well-stocked freezer and refrigerator. So we could go down, fill up pitchers of soda with the soda machine, get, you know, any kind of snacks or make sandwiches or popcorn. So we were well stocked for a marathon, which was cool. But anyway, he was also in my wedding party with some of my friends from home and a couple more friends from college. So we were really close. But at the same time, neither of us are great at kind of keeping in contact with one another. And, you know, he went on to go to grad school and do post-grad work. He's a physics genius. So there was a lot of stuff I don't understand involved. But, and he met his wife when he was in graduate school. And since we didn't necessarily keep up great contact with one another, except for some conversations on AIM and that kind of thing, I had never actually met his wife or any of his other friends from school. So my wife and I were very curious to see who else was going to get invited to this wedding. Another friend who we all kind of met at the same time, freshman year, who's really good friends with my wife and was also in our wedding party, was also invited, so we knew at least the three of us would be there, but didn't really know anybody else. It turned out we were the only ones from our college there. The much bigger group was from, you know, where he went to grad school. So it was kind of a weird experience. Like, I felt connected to him, but I didn't know his wife, and I didn't really know their friends. And we got kind of the impression, they were all nice people, but we got the impression that they were kind of, like, open and gregarious with one another. But then, like, when outside people were around, kind of clammed up a little bit, which is exactly how we were in college. So it's kind of interesting to see that, you know, had a somewhat similar friend group, just in a different place. It's not like there were like bizarro versions of us in this group or anything, which I was kind of looking for but did not see. And so all that was an interesting experience. There was also a friend of his there from like fourth grade that sat at the table with us. And I can only imagine how strange it must be for him to see all this, you know, different stages of friends and all that kind of stuff. But it was a great wedding, beautiful, it was nice outside, open bar, great food. My wife and our friend Heather and I all had a really good time together. We got to talk to Brian a little bit here and there, but I mean, obviously you're busy when you're getting married. But afterwards, they actually hung out, which was nice. And so we were all down in the lobby playing a game, and it was fun. So it's really cool to see him so happy and with somebody that he really loves. And I hope that in the future, you know, if they're coming out to visit her parents or whatever, that we can maybe get together, either meet, you know, in the city, or they can come up, whatever works out. Because I really liked her just from, you know, experiencing her through her wedding and the few tiny bits of conversation we had. But, you know, that's not really a great way to meet somebody. So I'm looking forward to actually being able to sit down and have a conversation and get to know her a little bit better sometime in the future, which I'm sure we can make happen. Just need to plan on it and communicate. So, and oh gosh, I forgot to mention this. The drive down there Friday night was probably the craziest rain I've ever driven through, or at least top five, I would say. Completely new territory, a lot of highway changes and shifting, rain coming right at you, flooding, a highway that was actually flooded out, really deep parts of standing water that we were lucky to get through. I mean, crazy. Our friend Heather, she flew in and had to drive 2 hours to get to where we were going. Had the same thing. She was just like a half hour in front of us. So, I mean, it was a really crazy drive-in. But on Saturday, it was perfect. Beautiful weather. Sunday, beautiful weather. We got home in almost exactly 2 hours, which is what it was supposed to be. And then, like I said, we all kind of hung out, and Lucy was all over us, which was great. But my mom said that, you know, she was fine. She asked where her mommy was on Saturday, and my mom was like, the wedding? And she was like, oh yeah, wedding. And when we got back, she was like, mommy and daddy at wedding. And we're like, yeah, that's really good. Which kind of brings me into what's new with Lou, pretty seamlessly, I must say. Her mental retention has, like, skyrocketed. It's been really impressive. She's remembering wedding. She's remembering all these other words. She's wanting to watch new things a bit. You know, she's branched out a little bit into Beauty and the Beast, and she watched a little bit of Dumbo and a little bit of Pocahontas. She seems to show a little bit more interest in My Little Pony. She's still pretty much off of Disney Channel right now. She likes watching Sesame Street in the mornings, but as soon as that's over, she wants to watch movies, which is interesting. There's still a little bit of Disney Channel later on in the afternoon after her nap. But for the most part, it's a lot of movies. But she's mixing it up a little bit, which I appreciate. Her parroting abilities have really taken a leap, I think. Maybe a leap in comprehension or development or whatever it is. But, like, she's got this toy that's a Mickey Mouse as a fireman, and he's got a button on his chest that you can push, and he does all these different sayings. It's not like she'd been playing with it a ton. My wife got back into the toy rotation system, and so while she was napping on Sunday, my wife swapped out the toys, and then Fireman Mickey was one of the things to come out. And so it had been a couple weeks since she'd seen it, and I mean a couple weeks, probably even more, since she played with it or pushed the button. But after just going through cycling it a little bit, she was like saying the words as best she could along with Mickey, which I thought was really cool. Like, that's kind of a big leap that I wasn't expecting, especially since it's such a new addition to her current thing. But she's, you know, she's got things like some of her Elmo DVDs pretty much nailed down and things like that. But she really seems to be taking more things in and being able to process them and repeat them, which is cool. Aside from that, I mean, she's enjoying the literal fruits of spring and summer. She's a gigantic blueberry fan and strawberry fan, so when they're not ridiculously expensive, I like to get those at the store for her. For the most part, she really just eats, you know, fruits around the house. She'll eat with us at dinner sometimes and lunches sometimes, but she grazes a lot. If it's got pasta in it or cheese, she's all over it. Loves macaroni and cheese. Aside from that, I can't really think of too much that's new. I'm probably forgetting something huge. That kind of seamlessly brings us into the pop-pop of the week, because it is a man seen in one of the new movies that Lucy has been watching on a regular basis the past few days, and that is Belle's dad from Beauty and the Beast. Now, when I first started watching this movie with her again, like most of them, I wasn't really paying attention. And so I kind of thought, like, he just let his daughter take his place. And so that kind of negated it a little bit. And I was going to give him, like, half of a pop-pop of the week. But after watching the movie a little bit more closely today, I realized that he, being a tiny little man, keeps trying to fight to get his daughter back, but he can't really do anything. he's protesting Bell taking his place in the castle, but the Beast literally picks him up and throws him in a carriage that drives itself away. He tries telling the people of the town. They don't believe him. You know, they threaten to lock him up in a loony bin. They lock him down in his basement, and it's only when Chip gets that tree-cutting machine working somehow that they break out. Like, it's a whole crazy thing. So at first I thought he didn't really have enough agency. But then I realized that he did his best. You just can't always win, but you've got to try, which I think is a good dad message. But the other thing that I liked about him, even before realizing all that, is how he really encouraged his daughter to be herself. I mean, the town thinks she's weird. They've got a whole song figured out about her. She likes to read, which was probably seen as a weird thing for a girl to do at that time, or maybe anybody. I don't really know what provincial France was like. So I thought it was cool that he really supported her, and, you know, he's kind of an eccentric, and since he's outside of the norm and the normal things that people do, he supports the same in her, which I think is a cool thing for parents to do. I think a lot of us need to think outside the box a little bit more than we do, and her dad instilled that in her and encouraged it as she grew up and gave her a good example of what that can be in an adult, which I think is neat. So for all those things and for surpassing my original expectations and ideas, Belle's dad from Beauty and the Beast, the Disney version, gets the pop-pop of the week.
Meanwhile,
I'm giving the pop-pop a seal of approval to a product that I didn't even know existed until my wife pointed it out to me. It is called the Aqueduct. And what this is it literally looks like a duck bill, but you flip it over and you stick it on your faucet and it allows your kid to wash their hands without getting water all over the place. And it also kind of extends the water flow outwards so they can reach towards it. Our daughter has been a fan of washing her hands for probably a year now, maybe more. And we get a stool out and she can stand up. And my wife actually rigged up a pretty ingenious little version of her own out of a liquid soap bottle. But the problem was that it would overflow throughout the back and get the whole sink wet pretty much. I tried to fix the design and poked a hole in the bottom for backflow so it would go down instead of out. And I made it too big and it still went all over the place. So, and it cut down the flow that was coming out for our daughter to actually wash her hands. But what this does is the part that goes over the sink is actually, it's like a silicone. And so it just slides over, the water pours out, comes down the little duck bill, and it makes for a much better experience. Plus, it looks cool. It actually looks kind of like Perry's nose from Phineas and Ferb, but a slightly different color green. I'll have a link in the show notes if you want to check this out. I highly recommend this if you've had this kind of problem of your kid wanting to wash their hands is just not working out. I guess if you have one of those longer faucets, like a that goes up and around, like arched, like a really big one, you probably don't have this problem as much because your kid can probably get to it easier, and I don't think this would help in that case anyway. But if you have more of a traditional sink in your bathroom for your kid to wash their hands, this is a wonderful idea. I highly recommend it, and that is why it gets the pop-pop a seal of approval. All right, gang, I think I've taken up enough of your time. My name is TJ Deitch. I am the host of the Pop Pop a Napcast. This has been episode 15. I really appreciate you listening. If you like the show, head on over to iTunes and rate it, or leave me some comments in the comments section over at Pop Papa. I'm always looking for new things to talk about on the show. If you have any comments about what I talked about here or suggestions for upcoming topics or just anything you want to talk about, I want this show to be more of a communal thing in addition to me just talking and kind of documenting my experiences as a parent. I would love to get a dialogue going with other stay-at-home parents, working parents, anybody, just ideas, anything, kind of get that flow going. If you want to check out more of me, my main gig is writing over at comicbookresources.com. If you search my name, you can find my stuff. I'll put a link on the show notes if you're curious. That's mostly comic book stuff. I also write for their sister site called Spinoff Online, which is more TV and movie news. You can check me out there every day. I'm on there a few times a day. If you want more of just my opinions on pop culture, like movies, books, TV shows, things like that do not usually have a kid angle to them, you can read my pop culture blog, which is called United Monkey, MONKEE.com. If you're interested in what I'm cooking or what I'm eating when we go out, check out monkeyingaroundthekitchen.com, all one word, no spaces. And if you just can't get enough of me and you need to find out what I'm thinking at random times throughout the day, I am at Papadich, PopPadietSCH on Twitter. All right, gang, I hope you have a great week.